Joe?
No, I wasn't. I was born in Brandon, Manitoba, about 2 weeks after my parents moved from Southern Ontario. They couldn't find any work. They just graduated as teachers. There was no work in Southern Ontario, so they came out west, and 2 weeks later I was born. And we moved up here 5 years later in 87. It was just supposed to be for a two-year stint. And 2 years has turned into coming up on 32 this year. Wow. That's how the story goes. It didn't really change. It just the people got older.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the thing about Churchill is if you go away for a while, there's always new people here.
Yeah.
Always new people.
Okay, how else is it?
Yeah.
And good morning to everybody else.
Working at the port is about as raw as it gets. As far as the people that work there, like there's, in general, the population of Churchill doesn't have a filter anyway, but working at the port is next level. Like the only cliche I can come up with is, you know, like they'll say things that would make a sailor blush. Yeah, I've been here my whole life, and I was about 25 when I started working at the port, and I thought I really knew what Churchill was all about until I started working at the port, and then I was like, oh, so this is what Churchill's really all about. Yeah, there hasn't been a day that I've worked at the port that I hadn't laughed. And that's, you know, laughing at good things, laughing at terrible things. Kind of the unspoken thing is that it's just like we're all in it together, and we're all, you know, especially when things are really busy over there, you know, like these are the people that you spend your summers and falls with.
Yeah.
And everybody is in the same boat.
Yeah.
I'm fueling airplanes. That's a job I got actually about a week after I was finished with the 2015 port season, which was the last real season that we had. Only expecting to be there for just the season because it wasn't such a good season. So I was like, well, I spend the off season in Churchill working for the fueling company, because with those connections I could get down to Winnipeg. So I was training my replacement when I got the call that, oh yeah, like nobody's going back this year. I was like, oh, well, that really, really stinks. And it was like that's a real understatement. Like, I mean, it was like a kick in the guts, and it was awful. I went to the Legion that afternoon and people were in there crying, and really looked like it was like the beginning of the end. At least with that company. But I mean, they weren't interested in moving it. They weren't interested in selling it. They said they were, but it just, they were holding on for as much money as they could, and we were kind of the pawns in the whole thing. So morale around town was terrible. It was really, really, the people left, and it was, you know, what's gonna happen to our town? Like, are we, like, because we're bleeding, but how big is the bleed gonna be? And then the rail line went out. People that maybe either didn't have enough in their budgets to justify flying out of here, because it costs a ton of money to fly out of here, or those that had jobs that were reliant on, you know, like on the port and the rail line, it was tough, because, you know, money was tight, and now all of a sudden prices are going up because the rail line is out. So everything has to get flown in, and the Northern, for maybe a couple of weeks, subsidized everything and ate those extra shipping costs, but that was very short-lived, and then everything skyrocketed, and like it was a pretty dire situation when prices go up and your income goes down. It was pretty hard. So a lot of people that had connections with the airline, they have some freight benefits with that, and so they're able to use that and get food from down south. I could place orders with like Cantor's or Save On Foods or Safeway and stuff like that. They would get them dropped off to Comair Cargo, and then they would be shipped up by air. And didn't have to pay the shipping for it. So those folks, those lucky folks, were, if you could figure that whole thing out, okay, you were doing okay. But I mean, that's definitely the minority of folks around here. Yeah. Otherwise, you just had to try and find extra work or just tighten your strings or whatever. Everything was deferred to Ottawa. Oh, it's federal jurisdiction. It's federal this. And Finland, Russia, China, like all these guys are jumping at the opportunities to develop any Arctic property they have or Arctic logistic routes in this. And here's Canada being like, you know, kind of just letting this situation fester a little bit. And it's like where are the priorities? You know, where was everybody? I mean, the feds had a lot of hoops to jump through, and they were doing all sorts of legal stuff with Omnitrax, who was not helping things. And they had to do everything through the courts and legal this. And I knew it was going to happen. I just wanted it to not be too late when it happened. Northern shipping routes, like the Northwest Passage and stuff like that, get more popular. The work that they do at the Marine Observatory is going to be probably focused a lot on that. A lot of people were kind of like, well, the only reason they're building this is to see what it's like if how does oil interact with Arctic sea ice. But the argument of shipping through here is that there's no ecosystem like this anywhere, where you have beluga whales and bears and everything that congregates pretty much right here at the harbor. And what kind of effect would an oil spill have? But what kind of immediate damage will it do? This Cape Mary we're coming up to.
Oh,
that
rock.
Yeah, that's where they're blasting the rock, and there was a pretty significant chunk of the population who didn't want to see that happen, because there's people that just love the rocks, and I mean they're untouched by anybody in the last billion or so years.
If you could say your name.
Oh, Forbes Powell.
Forbes Powell.
You bet.
I should.
80 years old.
Fantastic.
When I was probably 18, 19, my dad owned a share in the whaling plant up there. And I don't know how my dad got involved, but he did. But anyway, I was just a young pup. So there was about six of us went up there for the summer to work. And that's the only paying job I ever had. My job was, once we got the whales up, we had to bring them up a ramp and onto the floor, and I had to take the blubber off them. That was my job. And the natives were the ones that caught them for us. And that was quite a process, because they were out in our canoes, and they spot a whale, and they had a harpoon, and the and a rope tied on the harpoon with a tail on the end of it that held air. And hopefully it didn't get tangled up, and the whale would go down, and after a while it had to come back up, and then they'd shoot it with a rifle. And then they would bring them to us, and we paid them $1 a foot. That was pretty good pay back then.
Yeah.
You know, you get $12 for $14 for a whale, that's buys a lot of soup. And old Ed Belmore was there. He had one arm, but he had a ticket for steam, so he was our steam guy. Yeah. So it probably 40, 50 feet up into the plant, cable and a winch, and up they'd come. Yeah. It wasn't hard. You had a long handle with a curved knife on the end of it. And you just went down and slipped them open and peeled it off. And that's what we did, and rendered it down. And stink. Oh, I still remember that, because we used to have some for to feed the chickens. I don't know what they did with the oil, but I know we used it for mix up in the chicken feed, eh? And the meat was processed for mink. So they sent it down to the mink farmer. But that's basically it. As far as the whales, there was lots of whales. Lots of whales. And there still is, mm-hmm. From what I hear, there still is lots of whales.
On a calm day like this, you'd look out at the river and they would look like white cats, and it's just basically the whales.
Have you eaten a whale or like saw a whale?
Oh wow!
Oh wow! Amazing!
Beautiful!
Yeah. Sit down.
These guys are our buddies.
This whole thing kind of like sinks with the wind coming through it.